Salutations, Mets fans, and welcome to episode 94 of Amazing Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazing Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro, and with me this week is Greg Karam. Greg, earlier this week, the Miami Marlins finalized a 13-year, $325 million deal with Giancarlo Stanton. Runs through 2027. So what would you be willing to contractually obligate yourself to pay for until 2027?
Well, that's a really long time. So not that many things. I was thinking that there's only a couple of things in life that you want to be able to commit to for that long. Like a wife or a dog or a house or something like that. So maybe something along those lines. I mean, there's easy answers, like you could say health insurance or a mortgage, but like, you know, something useful. Like,
I mean, I would be very old and decrepit by then and probably in need of a liver transplant, so health insurance would probably be a boon.
That would be good. But, you know, something, you know, like maybe Netflix. I like Netflix. I use that a lot. Maybe MLB.TV, you know. Although, who knows how the future is going to go with that.
There's, you know.
Anything related to a dog, as an aspiring dog owner.
Aspiring? You can just go and get a dog.
I need buy-in on the other end.
Ah, yes.
Is my wife.
Yeah, I gathered, yeah. I always just sort of had two dogs thrust upon me because my wife is the dog person in the family. I always had cats growing up. So once we got our own place, it was just like, well, we're getting dogs now. I'm like, okay. That's the thing that happened, as you know, because they show up on the podcast on a fairly regular basis. As for me, I took the easy way out, because it's something that's probably going to happen anyway, and I'm just committing myself to the next 13 years of Mountain Goats album releases.
You love the Mountain Goats.
I do, and in the last 13 years, I went back and looked this up on the Mountain Goats discography page, which does have its own Wikipedia page because it's that long. In the last 13 years, they released 9 albums, 9 EPs, most of which are actually 7 inches, including one of my many white whales, which does show up on eBay sometimes. The Jam Eater Blues 7-inch with Store on the B-side. It's usually like $100, though. It was some sort of like magazine. It was like in one of the, you know, like in the early 2000s, like I guess they still had like indie magazines where you got a 7-inch inside the magazine. And I think that was one of those.
Is 7-inch, like, is that like a musical term?
Yeah, it's a tiny record, Greg. Okay. It's a tiny record. Also, 3 split EPs, 2 with the highly rated John Vanderslice, 1 with Cocky King, and a double compilation album of his early cassette-only tracks from the 90s. And I think the Wikipedia page missed. He did a digital download-only release a few years ago of some random B-sides that he recorded. And one of them was Ethiopians, which I think is a... It didn't make it onto the Tallahassee album and probably should have. So I think I'm getting pretty good bang for my buck here, basically, is what I'm saying.
There you go.
I'm getting good value for money over the next 13 years of Mountain Goats releases.
That's true. Music's a good investment.
So this is episode 94. The Brett Saberhagen, : not just an odd-numbered year wizard edition. And, I mean, I picked Brett Saberhagen mainly because he was the only good player on the 1994 Mets. And he was very, very good on the 1994 Mets, of course, in the strike-shortened season. He made 24 starts, went 14-4 with a 2.74 ERA, which was good for a 1.53 ERA+. Struck out 143 and walked 13.
That's a 1.9% walk rate.
Yes.
That's good.
That's pretty good. I think up until... did Phil Hughes end up snapping him off for best K to walk rate? I think it's still Saberhagen.
Mm. You gotta have a really low walk rate to make that work.
Right.
Hughes was really low this year, but I don't know how low.
And I mean, that was a consistent thing. I mean, the previous year he walked 17 and 139. The year after, 33 and 153. You see, the problem with Saberhagen, I will say, having watched, I didn't get to see his prime, I guess. I was a little young for that, when he won 2 Cy Youngs in the 80s with Kansas City. And actually in 85 won the World Series MVP because he made 2 starts. They were both complete games, and he gave up 1 run. that'll play.
That rules.
But having watched a lot of him in the early 90s Mets, when he was healthy, and even I think on some of those early 90s Kansas City teams too, on a pure like stuff level, he might have been one of the best pitchers of that era. And he was very, very good. And he actually, you know, on the whole, had a really good career. He just didn't throw, I mean, he only had four seasons where he threw 200 innings, and they were all before the age of 26, which was also part of the problem, I think.
Yeah, his prime coincided, for the most part, with Gooden's.
Yeah.
And when you ever use any kind of sort for that time period, it's pretty much like Gooden, Clemens, Saberhagen. Like, those are the top three guys, so.
I mean, his three best seasons, which, of course, were 85, 87, and 89, hence the odd-numbered year wizard thing, he was worth 25 wins in those three seasons.
Yeah.
Now, granted, the fact that he also threw roughly, 1,300 innings through his age 25 season might have been the reason he didn't throw more than 196 in a season for the rest of his career.
Yeah, that probably has something to do with it. When you throw over 750 innings over 3 years, that's a lot of innings.
Jesus. Remember the guy who probably should have gotten more? He dropped off the ballot his first year of Hall of Fame voting. I'm not saying he's a Hall of Famer, but I think he should have gotten a little more consideration. But I think due to the lack of durability and the lack of sort of the shiny win, like not getting to 200 wins, not having a particularly shiny win-loss record. But he wasn't that far off the peak score for pitcher, and he's comparable to guys like Dave Steeb, David Cohn, a little bit better than Hall of Famers like Don Sutton and Early Wynn. Of course, both those guys got to 300 wins, so that's sort of like the rubber stamp there.
Lock it up.
But I mean, just on a pure peak talent level, I think certainly, if not quite as good on a raw stuff level as Gooden, on performance, I'd say he's right there. I mean, it's just too bad he was a really big jerk, by all accounts.
Did not know that.
Mm. Well, he was the guy that had the bleach and the squirt gun.
Oh, really?
Yeah, shot at the reporters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a dick move.
Yeah, that's a dick move. I also realizing now, Greg, I forgot to read our audience's answers to our AA audio question of the week.
Oh, yeah.
So we do have some good ones. Again, that was, what would you be willing to contractually obligate yourself to pay for through 2027? Ramos DMRCO just wrote shortstop. Which, I mean, at this point, yeah, okay. At GT Hobday just wrote Shake Shack with no context, but I'm sure that's totally defensible, whatever he meant by that. Tom Orr 4 said, I'll say Bobby Bonilla just so that now it's been said and no one else needs to say it. Hashtag LOL Mets.
Well done.
At Bunklore, my $10 a month gym membership since I've already gone this long forgetting to cancel it. At Sid Finch 021, 529 for granddaughter, assuming I'm still alive at that point. That's both morbid and practical. And at New York Owls, who got on this podcast by his merits, and not just because I'm a member of the New York Owls, wrote two Alan Pardews, which for context, since we don't talk about first division soccer on the podcast that often, as a general rule, Alan Pardew is the Newcastle United manager who they signed to an 8-year deal a couple of years ago. So a second 8-year deal, I believe, would take him through 2027. And he's really kind of been terrible, yeah.
Because they were, like, protesting.
They want him out badly. But he keeps winning. They're like up to, I think they're in a Europa League spot right now because the Premier League's so bad this year. They've won like four games in a row.
Yeah, ever since they started protesting, they've done nothing but win.
It's become a running joke on